All right, we'll go into Ezekiel chapter 4 now. Chapters 4 and 5 are actually have a lot to do with God's pronouncement of judgment upon Israel from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is told in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mound against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, and I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arms shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt also drink water by measure, the sixth part of an hin. From time to time shalt thou drink, and thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man in their sight." And the Lord said, "Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now I have not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came their abominable flesh into my mouth." Then said he, "Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity." Now, Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we've read, and I pray you'd help me to be clear with the preaching of it and be faithful to it. Lord, we just pray you'd help us to see something we need to see, and we just thank you for all you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an amazing passage of Scripture, and it's one that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I have a full understanding of it as to what it's going to do. Some of it talks as if it's in the past, and some of it talks as if it's in the future. And it's one of those areas where it's very difficult to understand. But he says, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem." So God told him to take a tile and draw or make a model of Jerusalem and to show it there and portray it there. And he said, "And lay siege against it, build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thee thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. So he's told to make this picture of Jerusalem being besieged. And it's kind of an interesting thing is that if you go and you study how many times throughout history Jerusalem has been besieged, all the way through 70 AD and then even to this day in the modern era and the things that are going to happen, and yet, and there's coming a day when there's going to be yet another siege of Israel, is there not, of Jerusalem in that time. And so we look at that, and he's showing them that, and he's showing them that picture. This is something that they've already experienced, and yet it's coming again. And there were several times you could go to the times of Antiochus Epiphanes when he came up against Jerusalem and defiled the temple and all the things that happened there. But he's telling them about this siege, and he's talking about he's wanting them to see this. He's doing this in front of the sight of the people. You know, God has in times told his prophets to do things to be a sign to Israel, so Israel will see what's to come, or Israel will understand the why about things. And here he says, in verse 4, he says, "Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel." So he is... While he's doing this, he is supposed to lie on his side for 390 days. And that 390 days represents 390 years. Now, most people, most ones that talk about this period of time, they talk about this time and they say, well, that has to do with from the time of Jeroboam when they split and Jeroboam set up his calves till the time that the Assyrians came and took Israel away. All right? And that may well be, the time frame in there fits pretty well in that regard. But he's supposed to lay on his side, left side for 390 days. And then he says, "When thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side. Thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore, thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arms shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days that of thy siege." In other words, God says, "I'm going to make sure you stay on your left side, and you're not going to be able to turn over until the time comes, and then you'll stay on your right side for 40 days. Now, those 40 days are 40 years, and that has to do, commentators and Bible scholars will say that has to do with some time during the time when Josiah began to fall away and in the latter years, and then the people that followed him and those things like that, the iniquity of Judah, or maybe it was from the time of Manasseh or whatever the case may be, and the iniquity of Judah before the Babylonians came and carried them away. Now, it's an interesting thing that there's 430 years mentioned there. And let me just say something on a side there. When he talks about their iniquity, that 430 years, that 390 years for Israel, for Israel and 40 years for Judah, that makes 430 days or 430 years. By the way, that also matches the 430 years they were in Egypt. So God is trying to show them a picture. And show them a picture. And they came out of bondage after 430 years. And now they've been free and there's a period where they have began to fall into iniquity at some point where God says that's enough, and He's going to start counting their iniquity from this day. And you know, it's one thing we need to understand is that God has a deadline. He has a time where He says enough's enough. God keeps account. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to make sure we get right with God and actually stay right with God. That we don't want to sit there and just hold it, because eventually the chickens come home to roost. But there's a lot of I have a feeling in my bones. I just feel it. I don't have it right now, but I have a feeling there's more to it than just those two parallels that we talk about and those two time frames that we talk about. But He's trying to tell them something. He's trying to show them something. He's giving them something as a sign. And it's an amazing thing that He does here. And this is probably going to be one of the shorter lessons we have in the book of Ezekiel, because there's really not a lot to be said beyond what we've already said there. And He says in verse 9, He says, "Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. And thy meat which thou eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. And from time to time thou shalt eat it. Thou shalt also drink water by measure, the sixth part of an hin. From time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes. And thou shalt bake it with dungs that come out of a man." Now, before I go on to all of that, there's a lot of things that people have done. They have Ezekiel bread. Have you ever seen that? Where people are talking about Ezekiel bread and everything. People come out with this idea and they get all these grains and they try to make bread out of it. Well, this bread was a sign of judgment. It wasn't something that we ought to take as something we ought to make some bread and eat it that way. But notice He told them that He was to bake it with dung that cometh out of a man. And he was only supposed to drink so much water. And he was only supposed to eat so much every day. And the idea is that people are starving. They're on bread and water. And Ezekiel was supposed to do that for 430 days during the whole time. And he says, he told them, and he said, "Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them." You remember how Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were supposed to eat the king's meat. They were supposed to eat defiled bread. They were supposed to eat things that were not right, that were offered unto idols and all that type of stuff. And they asked, and they were given leave not to eat all that, not to defile themselves with the king's meat. And so there was something about this. It was defiled in some way. Some way in the preparation of it, some way in the things that they did and the type of animals that they did. And these people were put in that position. And he said, so we see that picture there. And he's basically saying, you're going to eat defiled bread because of all these years of iniquity. You're going to pay the price. And you're going to be, well, I'm going to drive you among the Gentiles, and you're going to have to eat defiled things. You defiled yourself, and now by choice, and now you're going to have to eat defiled things against your will. And so he's only supposed to eat 20 shekels a day, the sixth part of an hin of water. Not very much water. And so Ezekiel is there, and if you look at the sign that God gave the children of Israel, Ezekiel's there eating 25 shekels of this meat, bread a day, and drinking a sixth part of a hin of water a day. And he lays on his side with this thing, with this portrayal of Jerusalem and the siege of Jerusalem right there in front of their sight, and then and passes on the word of the Lord. And then after 390 days, he turns over for an additional 40 days on his right side and does the same thing. And it's there, and he prophesies, and he tells them why he's doing that. But we see a thing here about, in verse 14, we see Ezekiel's reply before he gets all this put together. He said, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, my soul has not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth." Now, when you look at the beginning of Ezekiel, we find out in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ezekiel that he was a priest. So Ezekiel was a priest when God called him. And he was a devout man. And he didn't go and he kept all of the ceremonial and dietary law. And he did his best to maintain that and stay right with it. And so God says, "Then he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith." Now, therein is the picture that we have when we look at this. I don't know how I'm going to turn my phone back up. But when we look at this, we see God being gracious to Ezekiel. I mean, think about this. And this is a pretty stark picture. He's basically saying, take human fecal matter, dry it out, and cook your food over it. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it? And he said that when he told him he couldn't do that, he asked God. God was gracious, but God still gave him cow's dung. He said, "Take cow's dung and burn it." And that was something that the heathen round about them did often. Something that the Jews would not do, but the heathen did do. But the picture of it is that, and by the way, if you go into the American West, they used to do that with buffalo, what we would call buffalo chips or whatever thing like that. They used to use that. The Indians used to use that for fire when it would dry, for fuel for fire when it would dry out and that type of stuff. But to the Jew, that was considered something that was disgusting and not good. And the Jews had particular rules in the law. If you go in the law, they had particular rules about sanitation and things like that that they were supposed to follow. And so this was a shocking thing for them to do. And the sad thing about it is, these people would have looked at Ezekiel and probably looked at him in disgust and doubt, but then not realizing that is the future that awaited them. That's the cost of their sin. And by the way, sin always takes us to a bad place, doesn't it? It always takes us to a place to where it's worse than we think it is. That is the truth. Sin always destroyed. He said, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight, and with care they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity." So therein is the whole picture. They are to sit there and watch Ezekiel pretty much starve himself at the word of God, at the command of God, to be a testimony of what awaits them. And you know, this is the one thing about it, is God is always very clear on the consequences for sin. From the very beginning, he's always been very clear, hadn't he? "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But what? The tree that is in the midst of the garden? All right? Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Very straightforward, isn't it? This is the consequence. And God is graphically using Ezekiel to show them the consequences for their sin. They are now beginning to reap what they've sown, and God is showing them what's going to come. And not only that, God is showing them what's going to come in that time frame. It's kind of an interesting thing when you look at what's happening with them. You look at the number of times that Jerusalem has been under siege. You look at the number of times where Jerusalem has been overrun. And, you know, under the so many times that God has dealt with them in that way, and how many times they've been in war. And it's going to go all the way to the Battle of Armageddon. We may have more wars in the Middle East. It's gotten to the point to where we have, you know, have you ever noticed that there are many in our government who hate Israel now? Whereas for long, long many years, we were the only real friend Israel had. And now they're losing that too. Just one more nail in the coffin for us, but one more fulfillment of Scripture for them too. And the sad thing about it is, this is the reality. So when we look at this passage, we see something that's very hard to understand, but God makes it clear in very graphic language. And he calls them to count. He calls them to account for precision, for precisely the number of years when he said, all right, that enough's enough. And they wouldn't hearken. And we see that. And you say, well, why did Israel get 390 years and Judah only got 40 years? Good question, isn't it? But here's the question. When you've watched the iniquity of other people and you see the consequences of it, why would you think that you knowing the consequences would mean that somehow you're going to get the same thing? I believe there's a place where Jesus said, he that knew his Lord's will and didn't do it or something like that. I can't remember the exact terminology. He said, he that knew his Lord's will shall be beaten with many stripes, and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes, but he that knew not his Lord's will shall be beaten with few stripes, something to that effect. In other words, there's a reality. Judah saw the iniquity of Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, and saw the consequences and did not hearken. They didn't change. They didn't repent. And when we get further into the book of Ezekiel, we're going to get to a place where where God's going to talk about those two nations, and I'm trying to remember exactly where it is, but we'll get to it at some point. When we get to that point, he's going to talk to them, and he's going to say how that very same thing. He's going to say how Judah saw what happened to, I believe it's in Ezekiel, if I'm remembering correctly, but he's going to say that where Judah saw what happened to Israel, and they were worse. They came out and did the same things. So we'll see that as we go on. Any questions on Ezekiel chapter 4? Any questions? Any questions at all? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll close the service. Father, thank you. And I know there's probably more here that I did not touch on or should have seen or understood. Lord, I pray you'd help us to just continue to learn the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one with understanding. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. And Lord, thank you for the Word of God that we have here today. Pray you'd bless the reading and the preaching of it. And Father, we also ask that you take us safely back home and bring us safely back on the Lord's Day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.